Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
How was your bio break?
It was delicious.
Delicious?
Your bio break?
I had just been holding my bladder for a while.
Oh, that's funny.
My biology break?
Your bio break. I don't know. Have you never heard anybody say
that?
No. Really?
No.
Regarding going to the bathroom?
Yeah. Is it like
I don't know if it's short for biology. I don't really know. I just know people say, how was your bio break?
Oh, well, it was great.
It was great. Wonderful.
It was great. It was relieving.
Good. I'm glad. You're like, I can power through. I'm like, or you could just go.
I know. Because then I just feel like I talk really fast because I'm trying to get it over with.
Like, I have to go to the bathroom. All right. Yes. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
It's like an Uncle Buck moment. She's like, that's quite enough.
Yeah. Hush now.
All right. So today, interesting guest. We're talking to a breast cancer thriver. She was stage 3. She decided to decline conventional treatment and heal her breast cancer naturally. But 2 years later, her cancer progressed to becoming stage 4. And so then she embraced chemo and her holistic methods. So first, we're going to talk about why Tara first declined conventional cancer treatment.
And then we'll talk about how she felt when her cancer progressed to stage 4 and any regrets that she might have and how she now advises others.
Yeah. And finally, we'll talk about how she lives today and the joy she finds in her journey. But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor. Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have 3 locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield and Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a 4th location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. Welcome, Tara. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Absolutely. All right. I want to jump into your story. You were diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in September of 2016. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Yep.
At what juncture in your life were you? How did that hit you? Like, kind of tell us where you were in life and just how you reacted to that news. Everybody's so different. I love hearing kind of everybody's story.
Oh, yes. Well, I was in my mid-40s. I was running a horse retreat center in Northern California where I did equine therapy, basically. My best friend in 19 years had just died 1 year previously from leukemia. So I was going through a lot of grief. I'd always been very healthy. Everybody said that I was the healthiest person I knew. So it was a big shock and a surprise to be diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. Hmm. Yeah. It was a whirlwind, like it can be.
You know, I think it's so interesting. We've had so many guests recently that had stressful events going on in their lives leading up to their diagnosis. You mentioned that your friend had died. I was looking at your website. It sounds like you were a caregiver for her. So you were very deeply involved in her care and in her treatment and all of that, correct?
Yeah, it was 22 months from diagnosis to death. And I was there for it all, spent months with her at the hospital and was there when she died. So yes, it was very encompassing and very heartbreaking.
Of course.
And beautiful at the same time too.
Yeah. Death is one of those things that, you know, Sarah and I talk about it a lot. There's a lot of fear around it. And I think that there's something beautiful though, when you can kind of make friends with it, and we'll get to that point. So you get diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in the wake of your own grief with your friend. What were your thoughts when you got diagnosed? What did your doctors want you to do? What did you decide was best for you?
Well, of course, they wanted me to do the standard route of treatment, chemo, surgery, and radiation. I had a lot of trauma about being with my best friend through her death, and I was already a natural girl. So I decided to do all natural, which I did for many years, and I did pretty successfully until a very stressful incident occurred, and I was forced to sell my horse retreat center. It was about a year of constant stress. And during that time, the cancer spread throughout my body, from my breast, my lungs, my liver, my spine, my adrenal gland, and my bones. I moved back home. This is a very condensed version of my story. It's in my book, Grace, Grit, and Gratitude. But I moved back home to Kauai, Hawaii, where I live now, where my dad is from. And I was referred to hospice in the spring of 2019. I knew I was dying. I was on oxygen all the time. I couldn't talk because I had so much cancer in my lungs. I had to sit up to sleep. I was walking with a cane because my left hip was breaking. And I decided to face my fear and do chemotherapy, which I did for 9 months. And I still kept up my natural treatments. But during that time, I almost died a few times. I had to have emergency double hip surgery because both of my left hip broke. And I came out of treatment in February 2020 with great results. The cancer had shrunk throughout my body. And last year, it was the year before, 2022, I was declared NED, no evidence of disease. So it's a total miracle I'm alive.
That's amazing. What do you attribute that to?
I did a lot of deep inner healing. You know, I cleared away toxic people and relationships. I think the natural medicine, the love of my horses, the love of the land here. I dove into a lot of deep self-love within myself, which I feel like that was a big part of it, to really find my joy.
That's amazing. So I'm sure this is going to be very hopeful for some people, because I was actually talking to somebody the other day who had quite a bit happen to her in her lifetime. And so when she got breast cancer, it felt like just another thing. And I told her, it must have just felt so many times throughout your life when these difficult things would arise that this is it. This is my life. And she's like, it did feel that way, but there was always another chapter. And she's like, and it kind of built her resilience. And it also built in her this capacity for joy, even in the most difficult circumstances. And I wonder if you feel like that's really the goal. Like, you know, that it sounds like you did a lot of inner work to get yourself to a place where you could kind of joy and grief could kind of coexist. And is that what you attribute to? Because your book basically says you were on hospice. And now what is your life like?
Now my life is great. I'm writing books. I coach people with cancer. I work with people with horses. I live on the land here in Kauai, take care of my animals. But yeah, it's been a lot. I mean, even in the last 2 years, both of my parents died very tragically. So it's been a constant being pushed to the limit of like, okay, so how are you going to rise up to this situation? How are you going to continue to find joy? So that's been a bit of my mission, to face difficult circumstances.
When you faced having to lose your parents, did that kind of like feel like did you have any fear about the cancer returning because of that kind of stress and that trauma? Or like, how did you overcome that? Because I'm sure many people who are listening are like, you can't avoid traumas. Traumas will happen.
Yeah, but it's interesting because your cancer progressed from stage 3 to stage 4 around the time that you had to sell your beloved sanctuary. And now your parents have died. And I can imagine that evoked a lot of fear of like, here we go again. Is that, that's an interesting question, Sarah.
Yeah, there was definitely that fear there. I mean, I spent about 2 years while I was undergoing treatment with stage 4 cancer, traveling back and forth to try to take care of my mom, who was going through stage 4 cancer. And then my dad died 4 months after my mom. And it was just very painful and horrible and an absolute nightmare. So yeah, there was definitely the fear of the cancer returning. So I'm just so grateful my body has continued to stay healthy through all those tribulations. It's really a miracle.
I want to know a little bit more about how you advocate for yourself and what you kind of tell people that seek you out for help. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
Okay. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
All right. I'm going to go on record and say this is a boobs about me.
Oh, this is a story about you?
This is a story about me.
Now I can't wait.
This is a story about me. I am the boob. I'm just going to come out there and say this.
Okay, great.
So I see this morning, I'm on a conference call this morning, and my sister calls me, and I ignore it because I'm on a call. I'm like on a Zoom.
Yeah.
And then she calls me again right away. Yes. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, she normally doesn't do that. You know how you automatically go, uh-oh, I hope something's not wrong.
Right.
So I text.
A back-to-back family call.
Right. So I text her as I'm on the Zoom. You know, I'm trying to pay attention to my Zoom while I'm texting her. And I'm like, I'm on a Zoom, and she texts me back, call me back right away when you get off. So I'm like, oh gosh. So I get off the Zoom.
You're in trouble.
I was just worried. And I call her and I said, how are you? And she's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And she's like, I got a call from the principal at my daughter's school today. She's like, the book that you bought her for her birthday, she basically got in trouble because it has explicit content in it. And I was like, what? My niece had sent me a list of books that she wanted for her birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I
So I thought that it was your sister who sent you the list. It was your
So my niece had said, these are the books I want.
Yeah.
She told my sister. My sister sent me the list so that I could buy it for her.
Oh.
So I buy her one of these books. Okay. And when I got the book at Barnes and Noble. Okay.
Yeah. In the tween section?
In the tween section. I don't know. Actually, I don't know that because what happened was I ordered it online for pickup. So it was waiting for me. So I don't know what section it was in.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, if you looked at the cover, and I'm not going to out the author, but if you look at the cover, you saw it.
Yeah, it's tweeny looking.
It looks very tweeny. It doesn't look like anything sexually illicit. No, it was very sexually illicit, and it was basically pornography for kids, which was horrendous.
Oh,
so
no.
I go, oh my gosh, Sarah, I am so sorry. I didn't know.
And she goes, to Catholic school.
She goes, no. She goes, it's my fault. She goes, I told the principal, like, I gave you the list. She's like, I should have vetted it. I didn't do that. I feel terrible. I went down and I told my husband, I'm like, I just gave my niece.
This is an honest mistake, though.
It is an honest mistake. And it's actually really sad that this can even happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel terrible now. My niece was bawling in the principal's office because she was in trouble now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole way it came out in the open was
a stressful couple of days for your family.
So, like, the way it happened was she brought her new book to school and she was reading it and she got to a section that was inappropriate and she started to get nervous. Like, she was like, this isn't good. And so
she should just close the book and not talk about it.
No, no.
Oh my gosh. Well, because that's what the good little
girl
in me would do.
No, she
will wait till I get home to read.
Yeah,
that.
Somehow. I don't know if she went and told a teacher or if, like, yeah. I don't know. She's in sixth grade. That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, she's tall. She doesn't look. She's in sixth grade.
No, she looks older. Yeah. She looks older. But I mean, you would never know looking at that book that it was anything like that.
I mean, I don't know that I would call you a boob for that, but okay.
You wouldn't?
No.
Oh, I'm totally a boob. And actually, I think my sister's a boob too. But it just goes to show you that you have to, like, really pay attention to that stuff.
You do.
It's just out there.
Yeah.
So there's your boobs.
There's your boobs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right. And we're back. Okay. So give me, like, a little bit of a timeline. You got diagnosed in 2016. How many years were you doing that before your cancer progressed? And what year did you become metastatic?
In about 2018.
Okay.
Yep.
So from 2016, you get diagnosed. 2018, you become metastatic. You get very, very ill. You nearly die. You embrace chemo. You keep doing your natural treatments. What kind of natural treatments do you embrace? Like, what do you credit with helping you kind of live your fullest life now with no evidence of disease?
I do vitamin IVs, infusions, where they're, you know, put directly into my veins once or twice a week. And I've continued to do those for years. Do a lot of natural medicine, Chinese medicine. I eat really well. I eat a ketogenic diet, which I highly believe in. Noni, which is a fruit here in Hawaii. You can drink it or eat it. I have that. There's a lot of things. I have a long list on my website, Cancer Warriors, because so many people ask me. I do keep up with, I get the hormone blocking shots, Valvulotox once a month, and then Xgeva for my bones once every 3 months as well.
Okay.
So I keep up with the integrative medicine.
I mean, that's probably really good to hear too, because some people, I feel like feels like either black or white. You do conventional treatment or you don't do conventional treatment. And I think that hearing that a combination in concert, like, works well.
Yeah,
Exactly.
I was going to say, when I was kind of looking through your story, I'm curious to know, do you regret not doing conventional treatment out of the gate, or do you feel very confident in your decision to handle things naturally and then, you know, just through the course? Because, you know, over time and experience, people change. You know, people change. What worked for you before didn't. You mentioned the trauma that you had associated chemotherapy with your friend's death. We're a big advocate of, you can't live in the past and you can't think about what was. But I noticed that on your website, you kind of made a point to say that your view on conventional treatment has changed somewhat. Can you talk a little bit about that evolution and why you landed there?
Definitely. And that's a great question. I don't regret doing what I did. A lot of people said, well, why didn't you do that at the beginning? One thing, where I was living in Northern California, they had a lot of fear in the whole oncology department. So I experienced bullying. It was a very negative experience for me to be there. So I feel like if I did do treatment there, I probably wouldn't have healed as effectively as I did back here at home in Hawaii. Here they have the Aloha spirit, and it was just very loving and compassionate. So honestly, I feel like that's a big part of it as well, too, is like, if you're able to take the medicine and integrate it with love in your body rather than fear, that's one of my slogans, hashtag choose love over fear. So I feel like I probably wouldn't have healed as well in California, to be honest. Plus, I had a lot of stress on me because I was running this horse retreat center, whereas back here in Hawaii, it's a much more relaxed environment where I can just drop into healing.
Oh, that's interesting. I never considered the, like, I guess the vibe when you walk into places. It does, people say now, I don't even like going into the hospital because just the your body tenses up. This is where you've had the trauma. But I never considered that part of your healing or how it would be connected to how you recover. Mm-hmm. So interesting. Yeah.
I just think, I mean, you know, Sarah and I are big proponents of mental health as a huge integral part of your healing once you get breast cancer. And I'm hearing that throughout your entire story. There's trauma, there's clearing away negativity and negative influences in your life. There's doing a lot of inner work. It just seems like that is an enormous part of your story and what you attribute to you doing well today. So I'm curious what kind of advice you give others, you know, who are getting diagnosed. And maybe, you know, this is part of our medical skepticism series, because a lot of the hospitals like to deny medical skepticism, like it's not a thing, but it's a very big thing. And it's not unusual at all for patients to go through traditional treatment and then question whether or not it was the right thing for them. Because when you're making decisions, when you're traumatized, your brain's not fully online when you're traumatized. And so whether you're declining treatment or you're embracing treatment, I think that everybody, when they come out of that fog, looks at it through a different perspective. So I'm wondering why that is not something that is embraced within the medical community when it seems to be such a huge
part of
women's stories.
Sounds like we need the aloha spirit everywhere.
We do need the aloha spirit. Maybe that's what we need. Do you have any advice, or do you have any thoughts for people listening who maybe are medically skeptical and aren't quite sure what to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like to really trust your gut instinct is important, to find the doctor or caregiver that works for you, that's in alignment with you. Not that you'll find the perfect doctor, but if one is putting a lot of fear on you and telling you, you know, your timeline of how much time you have to live or this and that, like to really speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself, and also know that you have a choice. You can find another doctor if need be. And also, I just want to mention and piggyback on that topic, the importance of self-love and self-care is so important. And that's why I feel like a cancer diagnosis can be a blessing, because a lot of us going through breast cancer, we tend to be givers. I mean, I definitely was and tend to be. And it's an opportunity to really turn that love that we give to others back to ourselves. So and it might be the first time in our life that we do that. So
I saw a quote on your website that you said, "I believe this cancer experience came to me to grow my soul to a place of unimaginable depth. I am choosing to be thankful for the pain, the struggle, and my fears of what this path might bring. I know if I accept it, I will transcend it. Every challenge is an experience to embrace and grow or not. It's a moment-to-moment choice."
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your story. Before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right, we are back. Do you have any final words? And I definitely want you to share how people can connect with you.
Or find your book.
Or find your book. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Your cover's beautiful, by the way. The cover of your book is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I love the cover too. Final parting words. I love to remind people that they're so much stronger than they think they are. You know, we have infinite strength as human beings, and it's a great opportunity to grow, like I was saying, so to dig in and find that self-nurturance and draw the people to you that'll really nurture you, and that you deserve that. This is your time to use this opportunity for growth. And as far as where to find me, yeah, I'm all over social media. I have a YouTube channel, Instagram, Tara Coyote on both, TikTok, all the other major social media channels.
And give the name of your book one more time.
Sure. It's Grace, Grit, and Gratitude, A Cancer Thriver's Journey from Hospice to Full Recovery with the Healing Power of Horses. It's on Amazon. It's on audiobook. It's online in Barnes & Noble. And awesome. Then also my main website for the cancer healing journey is cancerwarrioress.com. Yeah, you can find links to all my videos and everything there as well.
Thank you so much, Tara. Yeah. We really appreciate you being on here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Until next time, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmus, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.